Hi and welcome to another episode of the Getting Things Done podcast from Vital Learning. I am Morten Røvik, and as always, I'm here with my good friend and colleague Lars Rotskil Hendriksen. Privit, Lars.
Privit, Morten. Good to see you as always, and as always, good to be with our listeners and viewers out there. We always start off with a quick reminder of the purpose of the podcast, which is to help you learn GTD or become even better GTDers. So we hope that today's episode supports you in that. If you are new to GTD, we always recommend you go back and listen to episodes 1 through 6 to get an introduction to the basics of GTD, the 5 steps. Today's episode number is number 107, and it's about how we use GTD to plan travels.
It is. If you ever traveled somewhere without any kind of organization, you know that could be stressful, and not only, especially more specifically, if you travel with your family. So we are going to walk through what we find to be the best practices of planning to go somewhere and returning from that trip after it's done. And as all good trips or travels, they all start with good planning. So we do have a very good model in Getting Things Done called the Natural Planning Model. And that is the basic way that you will naturally plan anything from cleaning your kitchen to do a travel. And I know that you are using this with your family, Lars, extensively. Could you walk us through how do you use that natural planning model?
Yeah, absolutely. So when we talk about travels, obviously that would be a project in GTD. So that would certainly be something that would show up on my projects list to either plan that or to go on that vacation or to, however I would want to phrase that one. And then certainly the natural planning model would be something I would be looking at for the trips that are new to us in some way, I would say. So we have some trips that we take every year. As I've mentioned before, we have family in Norway. There's a summer house that we go to every year. That is sort of on repeat. Obviously, we are typically 1 year older when we come there every summer. And that will, of course, change with the boys. There is a bit more changes in life when you are 5 and 7, or 5 and 8, sorry, as opposed to the age of my wife and myself. But as we have a new newborn on the way very soon, as of this recording, very, very soon there will be a new GTD here in Denmark, and and we will go to Norway this summer as we usually do. So there will be a need, I think, for the natural planning model to be revisited. So in this case, how we would use it, well, we would go through the 5 steps that you would normally go through. What I would highlight would be to be very clear on the purpose and on the vision. I think those will be the primary ones for us. And from that, the brainstorm will show up. But I think those will be the key ones for us to visit.
So to just give the listeners and viewers an overview of how this works. The model is 5. There's a lot of things to do with 5 in Getting Things Done. So the first is purpose, where you decide what is the purpose of this trip or whatever you want to plan. And what framework do we have to adhere to? So what's the cost, where, which time of the year maybe, and limiting criteria for where you want to go, like we have a budget. And then you go to vision that you touched upon, which is what is our wild success? How does that look like when we've had the most fantastic travel to destination X? And then when that is done, as you said, we will then continue to brainstorm, where you will brainstorm anything that could be relevant to think about, like passports, are they still valid? Do we want to see some sites during our travel? Anything that could be relevant to consider. And then after, you will have to plan this, also make it a project. So then you will structure up this in maybe a main project and some sub projects. For instance, if you wanted to, as we do sometimes, me and my wife, she does some things and I do other things in planning the trip, depending on where we go. So you will make sub projects to finalize the desired outcome of the trip. And then you have next actions or calendar items that you decided. So it's whatever you plan, you do it one next action at a time. And voila, you are home from your trip and everything is hunky-dory. And you have a great travel. So if you're going to go into a little detail here, Lawrence, let's say that if you are going to make an imaginary trip for you and your wife, let's say move it into next year, because I'm sure that a lot of, because my travels are very easy, or it's me and my wife decided things, but now your boys are getting older. Do you let's say that next year, do you involve them in why are we going somewhere and what wild success looks like? Do you ask them questions about
Yeah,
this?
we would be able to start to do that now. We probably could have done that earlier as well. So that would be interesting to look at. And then that would certainly be one of the key priorities for me to go through if we were to make a natural planning model, as I think we will for the trip this summer. The starting point would certainly be to one of the things I like to do as well as part of the natural planning model is to just list out who's involved, who are the stakeholders if we were to have a corporate project. But let's play with that idea as well for the family trip. Who's involved? Well, my wife and I, the kids, the different ages, a newborn and 5 and 8, 6 and 9 will be at the time. What would they be interested in? Why are they going on that vacation? So really try to, outline that purpose, because there will be different purposes. My mother will be there, her husband will be there. There will be a big party there as well this year. And so who will we actually see? Who will be involved, and who would we then include in this kind of thinking when that natural planning model? So we would go through that, and then what would the wild success be like for them? And that would be to, catch a mackerel in the sea, or that will be, we want to go hiking to this specific spot, or there's this museum that they would want love to go to, whatever it might be. So those are things that we would be looking into to see how we might structure that. And I'm sure some cool things would come up from that. Just also wanted to add episode number 10 of the podcast. So if you go all the way back, that is when we started talking about the natural planning model. So for those of you who would benefit from some more details on the outline that you just gave, Morten, episode 10 would be the one to go for.
Indeed. One of the things that I would like to add to this is that when you involve, I remember when my son and well, my ex-wife and I were planning trips together with using the natural planning model. It was a lot of fun for him to be part of the planning process, even though he was fairly young. Especially when it comes to the wild success. What have you done this summer if your summer was good when we travel somewhere? And for him to say, oh, I want to swim, I want to see this, I want to go, Legoland, I want to go somewhere. And then not exactly in Denmark. So, but not always did we do everything he said, but he felt that it was part of the decision process that made him a lot more, happy about the choices we made, because he knew that some of his wishes and thinking was listened to, and we did some of the things he wanted. So he felt like, I'm part of this decision-making process. That was good for him. So, okay, so we have planned the trip. We know where we are going, and we must start move on continue the planning process. Let's make a imaginary trip that we can use as an example. So let's say that we are going next year, next summer. We are going to, or together but not together families will go to for instance Spain. Okay, so let's go to which where we where will where do you want to go in Spain, Lars?
We'll go to Barcelona.
Barcelona. Barcelona. Okay, so to plan that, first things that you probably will think about, I guess, at least when you've done the natural planning model, you know the dates that you want to go. So that's more or less done, or at least maybe some wanted dates or between this date and this date we can go. So the next step would probably look at air travel. Or I don't know, plane travel is a little far from at least from Norway to Spain, so probably air travel and prices and dates and that part of the, you know, the flight part, and then maybe hotels, or maybe you will have a package with a hotel and a flight. And for if you're not going to use any one, I'm going to tease you now because I'm going to reveal two of the apps that I use that Lars didn't know about when traveling, which is very beneficial, especially well, to keep all the travel informations. But let's pretend I don't have that. Let me pretend being Lars. Where do you keep all that information, Lars? How do you practically make sure that, for instance, you get to the hotel in Barcelona, and how do you, which flights you will take, and how would you structure that information?
Well, it depends on the information. So some of that information would, of course, go in the calendar. So that would be the flight numbers. All of that information would go in there.
But
Same goes for,
how
let's say
do
we
you
had a rental.
manually, would you manually put them there?
Yeah, Google adds that for you. So that's typically how I would add it. So when
So
you book a
you
ticket, it'll
use
just scan
yeah,
through.
Gmail. You've given it access to your calendar, so it will if it finds. Okay, for those of you who don't know, that's possible. It is. I think also that iCloud or at least a Mail app can also do that for you. It can take and it finds. So Siri, it's called Siri. It will find flights for you and put that flight information inside. How do you fare with for instance, let's say you do an Airbnb or you do a hotel. Where does that information go?
Calendar as well for me. So that will be typically all day events with all of that information in there, booking numbers, address, etc. So I have that at hand when we were last in Amsterdam, where did I need to go? Well, I would just open my calendar and hit that address, and then it would take me back to the hotel. It also has the added benefit that if I'm traveling alone, my wife can see which hotel I'm at, so she knows who to call if she needed to call the hotel. So that would go there. Same goes for car rental and things like that. I would have that there.
Yeah. And would you add like phone numbers and addresses and everything there, or?
Address and name. I try to keep it light and search as we have established over a number of times in the different episodes that we've recorded.
No, I'm just asking for what level of details would you include in your calendar. So I will do the same, more or less. I will tell a little later about my two apps that will talk about how you can more or less automate part of where things go inside your system. Okay, so now we have flights and what do you call that in English? Not hotels, it's a venue or
Accommodation.
accommodation. Thank you. Lars the has a master in English, I think, or he's better mastery of English than me. So accommodation. So we have that in the calendar, and everything is hunky-dory, and everybody's happy. But when you get closer, you need to prepare for travel, and we are both very fond of checklists. And for those of you who have not listened to us before in these kind of details, talking about checklists, a checklist is a list that you will reuse after you've done it once. You can reuse it, but then you have to iterate it. Iterating meaning you need to update it, make it more relevant for next time you will travel if you find there is a discrepancy in how you do things. Typical lists that you can think about could be packing lists for different, for instance, we have a packing list, my wife and I, that's, 2 weeks in Turkey, where we don't have to think about what goes in there, you just tick them off as you go, and we share those lists so you can see them. We use Apple Notes to do that, or for iOS, and then when she packs something, I can see that she packed that, and then I don't have to run around the house trying to find that thing she packed. I'm sure that you are doing more or less the same, Lars. I don't know. Did you share your packing lists?
To some extent, it's the same, but still with a slightly different angle. So we have them in OneNote. They are in a shared notebook. And we have different ones for big city travel, or we have for all-inclusive travel, or we have for skiing holidays. We have one specifically for the summer holidays. Have one for, attending a run, for example. What do I need to pack? What I need to eat? Well, all of that stuff is in that checklist as well. Typically, we actually print them. I know that sounds some kind of old school out there. Yeah. No, the thing is, so there will be packing lists where we all need pants, right? So I need pants, my wife needs pants, the kids needs pants, kids need pants as well. So we'll go through that and actually print it. And then I will, do one sign for myself, and my wife will have the same access to the same printed checklist. And then, cross them out or complete them when it's packed for all of them. So I'm the lucky one here and only packing for the things that I need, and some of the other things that we in general need. And she makes sure that we have all the things we need for the kids. So that is why the printed one actually still works nicely for us. I think if we were to make it more digital, I think we would go in Apple Notes as well, like you said, and then distribute it to the kids. I remember way back when we spoke to Yuka from Finland about this, where he mentioned, having these in Google Keep and actually assigning them to the different different kids so they could do their own packing here. So and then the other aspect is that, of course, that's tricky because there's a lot of things in there as well. There's a packing list for the kids as well, because we know they will want certain board games when we go camping, or they need some specific toys or whatever it might be. And then, like you said, you refine these over time, and we add things that we, when we're on that vacation, next year we should bring this. That goes on the packing list for next year. But now we have a newborn to think of when we are 6 months old, when we get to the summer holiday. So that is when I'm actually happy to say that I actually saved those old checklists from way back then when the boys were older, younger, because there were so many little things that we needed to remember, and that might have changed over time. But at least we have now a next action to merge those. So at least print the old one, review it with my wife to see what do we actually need to think of this year, and then we can make a new and updated packing list for all of us.
So that sounds very much like the way we do them. I also try to save my old packing list, because suddenly I will remember something. That reminds me, I didn't pack that this year. Maybe I want to pack it. So the likelihood that we will have small children is, for me and my wife, small. As you know, I'm a little older than you, and I'm not interested in having any more kids. It's enough with what we have. I do understand why you do this. And for those of you who are, new to GTD and are youngish enough to have children, then this is a good tip, of course. So one of the things that
to wrap it up, or just to add to that. So in practice, I think it almost happens every time we pack that there's something, We should have that on the list. So we will scribble on the side, or we will just add some things. And that actually then goes back into my my inbox. And I typically won't get to that before we then leave for the vacation. But then I come back and we have it there. And I'll just go in and manually update it. Simple process, very straightforward. Yeah. Good old-fashioned GCD, but it works nicely. And the other thing to add was that we typically print this, I would say probably 2 weeks before we go on vacation. And that is because there are things that we need to do before. And we need to, you know, some of the stuff we have with us where we live, some of the stuff might be in the summer house. We need to plan to go and get those things. Yeah. So it's just good to get them on the radar. We need to, sometimes we have these, I don't know what they're called, food services that bring you, you know, three meals for four people every Monday. We have to, you know, cancel them for the week or weeks that we are away. Yep. So those kinds of things are really nice to have on the radar at least 2 weeks in advance, maybe even more, I think.
And having that on a list, because one of the things that I have, I'm sure you also have that, is getting ready for travel list. So, you know, get the house in order, unsubscribe, or just cancel your newspapers or whatever services you have that physically comes to you automatically. I don't know. We have one specifically. It's very short but very good list that saved our butts so many times, because when you are getting ready for travel, I don't know about you, it's like little, you know, it's you're excited and a little stressed at the same time sometimes. I don't know if you've ever been there before travel. It's like, and it's easy to just stay in that feeling and forget, for instance, to empty the fridge for everything that can die while you are away. Take out the trash, secured, windows and doors so that you will not have a burglary while you're out and about. And those lists are, or the getting ready to travel list is very good, have been very good for us. And it is like, remember to check all the sockets so that you don't have something with a, you know, high voltage inside that can start a fire while you were gone. I don't know if, do you have a similar list, Lars?
No, we have these things that don't burn the fuses when we are not there.
It's just sick. No, but I don't think about that specifically, but on the getting ready for travel list, you know, getting the house in order before you leave the door, you know, you walk out the door.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. We have that, and that typically shows up as an ad hoc list with things. All right, take the trash out and remember to pack the pillows for the boys so they can sleep better when we drive in the morning if we're leaving early, things like that. Yeah, absolutely. Otherwise we would forget.
Yes. And I remember one of the reasons we made that list together, my wife and I, was because one time we forgot and we got home to the fridge where half of the content of it had died after 4 weeks of travel. And then
started living again, perhaps.
It's probably started living a little too much, and it smelled really bad, and it was really an ordeal to clean the fridge after. And at the same time, we forgot to take out the trash. In Norway, we source our garbage, so one part is organic, and that organic part we did not take outside. And the house was funny smelling when we came home, so that's a good one to have.
That's a good way to learn to use a checklist. Yeah, now you don't forget.
Yeah, now we do that. So the only thing you need to remember is to use the checklist. But that is, if you travel a little and start using them, it becomes more natural for you to do that, because you don't have to think about everything you need to pack, because it's already there. It alleviates the stress of, did I remember everything? You know, yes, I did. And it's like, oh, okay. A little less stressful traveling. So now let's pretend we are walking out the door. We are on the vacation, during the vacation. How do we handle, you know, the vacation with GTD? Let's say that you are enjoying life, and then suddenly you get an SMS from a client who wants to talk to you about something. How do you capture that practically, Lars?
To the inbox. just straightforward. And there'll be, you know, there'll be missed calls, there will be messages on different platforms. All
so
of
you
that
mean
just
your
goes
inbox
into the inbox.
In your
reminders,
reminders app. So in your list system. So okay.
Yeah, exactly.
So we forgot something, because traveling with GTD is also renegotiating expectations. So the out of office reply for email. I don't know if you've talked about this a lot. There is very many different ways of doing that. The most extreme I've heard about is one of my clients who are doing this all when he takes his vacations, is that he will have an out of office reply saying that, hey, thank you for your email. It will be automatically deleted. I will not read your emails. I will be back at this and this date. Please resend if you find it important enough. I'm not that daring. So I'm more like, send me an SMS or call me if something is really urgent, if it can't wait until I'm back. How do you renegotiate expectations so that you can take a vacation?
Same for me. And you know, there is some planning that then takes place as you approach that vacation. So there'll be ongoing projects where you may need to inform people involved in that project that you will be away for a certain period of time. I'm a big fan of cleaning out my calendar. I've seen a lot of GTDers that didn't do that, and it just makes my vacation so much better to just, you know, decline all the meetings where I'm not able to attend and clear out that calendar. Because also there will still be some stuff in my calendar that I may have to look at when I am on vacation, and I don't want to see all that work stuff. So I'll be sure to really clean that out.
Me too.
And it's, I'm sure you've seen that as well with coaching clients. There'll be sort of a hesitation to do that, because why should I spend clicks to just go through that? But you will typically also have seen, or at least that's my experience, that when they then see that empty calendar or that calendar that reflects reality, so much better.
The weight is
off
your shoulders.
It really does makes, it just makes a big difference. So that's critical for me. When I worked in bigger companies, there would often be, you know, we would take vacation on different times. So there would be backup people. So I would communicate to the people involved in the project, hey, I'm gone from this week to this week. If you need anything in that time period, then you can reach out to whoever was then my designated backup for that specific project. So that kind of thinking would then take place before we would go on that vacation.
Indeed. And to have nothing on your calendar but what you need to for doing your vacation, that is key, I think, for just total relaxation. And I know that people are different. Some people like to have everything on the work-based things. Some people like to read email when they're on vacation just to keep on top of things. And you know, it's whatever you do, it's just make sure that you enjoy your vacation. And I think that maybe we in the Nordic region here in Europe, we are more prone to value our vacation being time really off work. So that I know that some of our colleagues in the North Americas saying that, okay, I know you are really not responding to emails. Okay. and the answer is yes. When we take vacation, we are not working. And of course, there are exceptions for that. But in a general, we are really taking vacation. And if you find that attractive, so then remember to renegotiate your commitments before, and make sure that your out of office reply also reflects that renegotiation of expectations. So the worst thing you can do is that you don't make an out of office message and people think you are in the office and that they are expecting you to reply and you don't, and they get angry or frustrated or irritated with you. But if they get an out of office reply that indicates when you will be back, and then the time frame for you getting back to them is available, people are tending to think, oh, okay, it's on vacation, it's okay.
And on that topic of the out of office, the way you described it, I think is pretty much the same as I do. And the other thing to add, of course, is to make sure that you set it up before you leave and perhaps a day or two ahead of time. So you don't have people, you know, sending that email on Friday afternoon and they would only get the out of office starting on Saturday. And they would sit there and wait for your email, not knowing that you were away. Same for taking a bit of extra time when you get back, so you have time to get back on top of all the inboxes and all the cool stuff that has happened while you were away. That's been a really good tip for me as well to make sure that you have that set up.
Yeah, that's a ninja trick. I've been using that as well, and it's really good. If I arrive back on a Friday, it's always, you know, I'm on vacation until Tuesday. I will get back to you on Wednesday or a day or two after, so that I have two full days at work to gnaw myself through the backlog of my email, sort of making sure that I don't have that stress of, you know, making things. And I make sure that I don't have any appointments, as you do, the first day or two after, right, as few as possible. Coming back from a vacation, and you are then capturing throughout, if you have an idea or you have a commitment, you would like to do something, or you have a worry or anything, you will capture it to your capture tools throughout the vacation. So, but when you are, I'm sure you are counting your children before you go home, but do you have any, like, after trips?
1, 2, 3, checklist? Go.
Yeah. One too many.
Yeah, we actually, but I think so in my checklist, I actually have the actual packing list, the before trip and the after trip as well. So that's sort of all put in that OneNote section or page. So there'll be things for me there'll be a reminder, of course, to update the packing list based on what we discovered on the vacation and while we were packing. We also have things like stuff that needs to go back where we picked it up from. So if we had some stuff stored at the summer house, it probably needs to go back there. And also, you know, typically we will travel with others and there will be shared photo albums that we want to set up. So I want to make sure that I have that on my radar as well, to set up a shared photo albums, pick out the photos that I want to share with that group. So we don't forget to do that. I think those are some of the things, at least off the top of my head, that I remember from the post trip stuff.
Good.
What about you?
And I don't have any post trip lists. I teased that I would share a couple of apps that I use. Are we on that? Are we there now?
I think so. I think what you're about to cover is what I would normally have. So you've of course have more information that you will show. The only thing I would add is, so what if we were in Barcelona, what did we plan to go and visit? What would we go and see? And that might not be scheduled, so that would not go in the calendar. So there would still be a need for me to have some kind of reference information or support material for the vacation if we really want to geek out on the traveling in GTD terms. I would probably create a note, a shared note. We've started to use that more and more in the Apple ecosystem, or in the old days we would have just used OneNote. Either would serve that purpose quite well, I think. But you have specific apps that just put all that together, which looks really cool, I must admit.
Yeah, well, I'm using two apps, and I want to give you a warning. This is very Apple-centric, but if you have an iPhone or an iPad or a Mac, these will work on either of them. I want to start with an app called Tripsy, and I will share my screen for those of you who can see this on the, and I will try not to be too obvious about, you know, what, for those of you who cannot see this, but it is an app where I can plan my trips. And for those of you who can see my screen now, there is a trips coming up. We are going to Rome, my wife and I. So these are boxed in you can add a background image, and it says, you know, when we are going, where we are going, and for how long time in the future it is. So 76 days as we talk now until for our trip to Rome. We are going to Copenhagen, and we are later on we are taking a ferry boat there, and we are going to the GGD summer camp this year. Whee! Yes. for those of you who wondered why I go bananas about this, is because this is really cool for us. So if the way that this works is I can then click on that, the trip, and the trip will then open, and I will be able to look at where we are going. For instance, we will have an Airbnb. We have traveling with the Norwegian Air Shuttle, where we are going, when we're coming back. And I'm not going to open the documents folder there, because anything that I put in there will be, you know, confidential for me and my family. So I will not show you that. But there you can put all relevant documents, like when in Rome, do what. So options, links, text documents. I will put links to TripIt for things we would like to see, and maybe find, you know, if I find a cheap, if we're going to do some in Rome, we are going to see some things that is not very, you know, easy. You don't have to remember. You do the research in advance, and then you just, you know, go there by using this service here. And it can keep almost anything that you would like to have. And it has... Sorry?
How do you add things to it?
Yeah, very easy. You just do, you can, let's see if I can close this. So it's a plus where you start a new trip. Let's see if I can do this without, it's a little window problem here, but if I do like this, you will set the trip name and start planning your trip. And you can also add forward emails to your Tripsy account. There's a account you can create where the any things that you forward to that Tripsy account will show up automatically, like flights and hotels and Airbnbs, and everything will be automatically added to your trip. I think the key is to set a start date and an end date, and anything that goes in between there will be automatically added. And it also have an automatic, if you want, I don't use that because I have my Gmail account for, it will automatically add things to my my calendar. So I don't have to add, but all of these things are also in my calendar. So it's like both places, but there is a dedicated place where I can both take care of all the details in a, for instance, that we wanted to have, like you said, your rental car contract. You can link it to anywhere in this, you know, anywhere, and you can also use it for contact people, information, anything you like to do when you travel. So I like this. It's a very easy way of doing this. So
yeah, looks good. And you can share them as well.
Yes, you can. So if I go for the Rome part here, let's see if I can open this. And yes, and then on the share sheet here, I can share with whoever I want. So I can make an active link, or I can just add guests with their email address. So, and it is so that my wife, she has the link to this. So if she wants to see what I planned for us, so she know what we are doing at what date, she can. She will understand where we are going, and she don't have to. Well, she can of course ask me if for what we are doing. But yes, so okay. Cool. Yeah, I do too, think so too. So that's Tripsy, TRIPSY, and it's available. It's an service that you can get through. Either you can do it in the App Store, or you can do it through the Setup App Store. It's an App Store where you you subscribe to all the apps in the App Store there, and there is a lot of really cool apps, and this is one of the things that I think makes it really worth having a setup subscription, because this is way cool. And you have widgets, you can add it to your home screen, you can add it to your, you know, to your phone, so you can follow when, how many days is it to our next travel, and in 76 days we're going to Rome. Yay! I'm looking forward to this. Yeah, exactly. So, and so that's Tripsy. I wanted to share another thing with you, and that is something called Flighty. So it's let's see if I can open Flighty here. So Flighty is this is our flights to Rome. You can see where we are going, when we are going, and the trip we are going, and the estimated weather. So I added the weather here. What is also cool is that I can add friends' flights. So for instance, there's a friend's flight who has actually landed today. So it doesn't show up. We have a friend coming from abroad, coming to Oslo, and his flight was here. My wife is there to greet him at the airport right now. So friends' flights will also show up here. And what is cool is that when you go for your flights, is that you can see all the details of the flight. You can see all the details during, before, and after. So you can look at you can have the booking code. You can have everything in here, and you can also see arrival forecast. So how often is this delayed? A lot of very cool details and of the flight and when it's scheduled and how have you ever gone on this trip before, etc. And this can also be shared. You can also put this in your calendar, and this has I don't remember exactly what I call this, but live view on an iPhone.
Live activities,
yes. So it can show up on your iPhone as a notification that stays there until you know, you're finished with your trip. And this is during a flight. This is often or very often before the notification that comes up on the board on the when you travel somewhere, you get this, okay, you're delayed, or where is your where is my number is the baggage coming on, you know, which band does it come on, and so all that information comes on the phone first, and it is glanceable. So I just take my phone out of pocket. I don't have to open the screen. Everything is that I need is there, updated on the home screen of my phone without unlocking it, and that is really cool when you travel. I do like Flighty. So, but Flighty is also a paid subscription. If you travel more than, well, 2-3 times a year, maybe with planes, and that you feel that you want to lower your shoulders a little about, you know, where are all my information? So that you're not late to the gate, and you find your baggage without stress, without having to where is that, you know, the monitor. Whereas Flighty is a good option, and also easy to share with other people the information that you have there. Okay, Lars.
Very cool.
That's.
I have to level up my travel game to perhaps with those apps. I'll have to look into those.
Mm. And I hope that makes sense for you who listened. I tried to be as vocal as I could without, leaning on the video here. But I hope that you understood what we are doing. Is that this is for planning and traveling. So Tripsy is for planning, and it also keeps the flight plans there. But Flighty is really about when you're traveling to get that in the moment necessary information that you need. And it also syncs to your Apple Watch, so that you get your notification there. So if there's a gate change, you will just have a zip on your wrist, and you can by a glance say, "Oh, yes, it's now something new happened. We have to change gate."
Yeah, very handy.
It's,
Very
and you
cool.
feel so futuristic when you do this. At least I feel. It's like everybody else is still sitting when I'm walking to with my wife to find a new gate, and we find the best seats, and everybody else comes after like
And we'll have to do a new episode next year with you describing how you use the Vision Pro to walk around in the airport and seeing everything and all the information.
I should be so lucky. That is a little pricey, I would guess. I don't have any plans on buying one of those, but it kind of looks cool, but it's okay.
Maybe next year.
Maybe next year, we will see. If they half the price, it becomes more interesting to look at, but still very pricey. I don't know if you there is I saw some videos on YouTube from one of the one, a very or fairly famous maybe you will remember his name. I want it to be Casey Nygaard. Does
Nice
that make
that.
sense?
Casey, nice that.
Neistat. Okay, so he's a YouTuber from New York, I think, and he just released a video with him going on, and he always goes somewhere with his skateboard, his longboard, and now he goes with his Apple Vision Pro on his on in front of his eyes. I thought I looks
What could go
geeky,
wrong?
and yeah, what can go wrong? Exactly. You're traveling with something that probably would feel like an old-fashioned diving mask. Lines on the sides, I don't know. Oh, okay, enough of that. But next year maybe we will see. I think that we've. Do you have something to add, Jen Lars, about this?
No, just to highlight that now you have, how we would approach if we were to plan attending the GTD summer camp this year that
Yes.
Morten already mentioned and showed in
Yep.
his little app. June 15 to 16, gtdsummercamp.com. A great weekend in Denmark with the nicest people. The theme is getting things done together. We have some really cool things planned with David showing up virtually. We hopefully have Ed joining us to talk about the team book. We have Thais from Brazil. We have the draft GTD board game. We have some really cool Microsoft Copilot stuff hopefully coming up as well for GTDers working together. It's going to be so much fun. And glad to see that it was in your app already, Morten, that you will be there.
And of course it has to be there in Tripsy. So yeah, and I'm really looking forward to that. And if you're listening, as I do mention that if you are, some people are, myself, sometimes I overcomplicate things that it's an, oh, I want to go there, but. And if your one but is that I don't know how to get from the airport to the venue, that is solvable. You just when you do the sign up, you indicate I need assistance for this, and somebody will get reach out to you and make sure that you get there in time. So
And over
yeah.
half the tickets are sold now, so don't wait too
Ooh.
long to sign up if you're
Yeah.
thinking of going.
Yeah, and it is really really fun. You should go there. Lars and I are going. We are hanging out with you guys. We are geeking out, and we help people, and we don't even get paid. Isn't that wonderful? Just to give you an idea of how nerdy Lars and I are. So, okay.
The other thing to highlight,
Yep.
Weiselearning.eu. We
Yes.
mustn't forget that is where you can go to find more information about the different offerings in the Nordics plus getting things done, crucial conversations, mastering dialogue, accountability, crucial influence, the power of habit on each of the country websites. Weiselearning.eu is a great place to start. Outside the Nordics, go to cruciallearning.com to find your local partners.
Indeed. And I know that some of you have reached out to me personally to ask for coaching, and that you are in the US. I'm sorry, but I can help you, but it's a lot of hassle. And I would suggest that you then try to go to gtdfocus in one word.com, gtdfocus.com. They have well-versed coaches that are trained by David Allan Company, and they are stellar quality. Some of them even coach Lars and me, so they are good. So yeah, so GTD Focus if you want coaching in the US and Canada. So, well, we are at the end. And as always, I will close, as I always do, by saying, okay, until next time, stay safe and stay productive. Bye-bye.
Bye, everyone.